Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we have a great show for you tonight. And if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And we're going to be here till about 8 o'clock tonight. And tonight, Vito Mlynecki Jr. will be with us in a few minutes. Habib, he's coming back to talk about his fight and what's next for him. I can't wait. And yeah, he really is, man. And tonight, we're going to go ahead and talk about Canelo Alvarez and Triple G fight next week. Now, they're going to fight different people, but we'll break down those fights. You know, we can't have everything in 2020. I mean, come on, you know. But first, let's get started with DAZN. Anthony Joshua versus Kubrat Pulev. Joshua wins by KO in the ninth round over Kubrat Pulev. Joshua, I tell you what, looked really good in this fight. A lot of people said he didn't look confident in the first couple rounds or whatever. Listen, man, I don't know. To me, he just looked patient. He didn't want to rush anything. He knew Pulev was a little bit dangerous. You know, listen, man, Pulev's over 200 pounds. He can hurt you. You know, he's a big guy. He's fast. He can hurt you, you know. He knocked down Pulev in the third round, and then again in the ninth round. Pulev, when he was knocked down in that ninth round, he beat the count, and he was immediately met with a vicious right hand that put him completely out. I mean, that right hand was about as good as a right hand you're going to see, and it just hit him right flush. I don't even know that he saw it coming. I think he was still hurt. I'll be honest with you, man. I think he was still hurt from that knockdown in the ninth, from that first knockdown in the ninth, and I don't think he recovered. He got up and just got cracked, man. Just got cracked. Before we talk about what's next for Anthony Joshua, Beeb, take me through this. You know, Anthony Joshua was able to hit him with that uppercut, and that's a patented Anthony Joshua punch. He loves that uppercut, and he lands that on a lot of guys, man. And Pulev was, you know, Pulev was, to me, it looked like he was way over his head. Break down the fight for me here. What did you see?
Well, you know, Joshua is who Joshua is. He's got his flaws, just like most fighters do. I saw some flaws on Saturday. But here's the thing. I mean, he won every round, knocked him down, I think, four times in the fight. The uppercut was beautiful. Let's talk about the positives. The uppercut was beautiful. That right hand at the end was, as you said, was the most picture-perfect right hand anyone could ever throw right down the pike. It was a perfect punch. But he was in there with a guy who really didn't offer up much resistance. He was in there with a guy who was older. He was in there with a guy who was slower. He was in there with a guy who was intent on just throwing a jab and every now and then an occasional right hand. A guy that really isn't a real active type fighter. Joshua kind of reminds me, and I'm going to point out an interview that I watched, and I agree with Dillian White when he was asked this question about Joshua. And he said, you know, he looks like a guy who's kind of caught in between styles right now, trying to figure out what type of fighter and what he really wants to do in there. And it's kind of hard to be overly critical in this fight because, again, he won every second of every round, closed the show in the ninth. But what I did see here was I agree with Dillian White. What Joshua reminds me of now is Vladimir Klitschko and how Vladimir Klitschko made that transition. After he got knocked out by Ross Purity, Lamont Brewster, he started having a concern, not about really his chin, but his durability, his stamina. And he started really slowing the pace of the fight down, kind of jabbing and grabbing, really waiting and making sure he could land that perfect shot, curtailed the aggressiveness a little bit. And I'm starting to see Joshua turn into that fighter. Now, whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, against a lot of guys in this division, it can be effective. He's going to beat a lot of guys doing what he did last night because he could still punch. He's still explosive. But the huge problem with Joshua, in my opinion, is the transitioning. The transitioning from offense back to defense. There's a lag there. The jab comes out beautiful, but doesn't come back beautiful. When he recoils and resets, kind of discombobulates himself a little bit, and I think there's a pause, there's a little bit of hitch there, and there's opportunities for a skilled fighter to land right hands over that jab when that jab comes back low. And when he has those, like if you watch in the first Ruiz fight, Ruiz punched with him. After Joshua landed the big shots and Joshua was kind of resetting and recoiling, that's when Ruiz caught him off guard. So when Joshua transitions back to defense, it takes him a little time to get settled and get established back into that position. And that's, I heard the word vulnerable used a lot yesterday in describing Joshua. And I don't know if it's applicable against a guy like Pulev, but against certain guys, I think this new version of Joshua, I'm not 100% sure that this version of Joshua, well, I feel pretty confident this version of Joshua doesn't beat Tyson Fury. I just don't see it. And I even think this version of Joshua may have some problems with Usyk. May even have some problems with Dillian White now. I'm not saying he'd lose to Dillian White, but I think he'd have some problems because of the transition, the slow transition back, the jab hand coming down low, and very stiff, and his upright and the chin was up in the air. I still think there's a lot of defensive liabilities there, but again, he was in there with a guy that wasn't going to exploit those things. So I don't want to be too hard on him because there is a lot of positives. The guy can punch. He's a fluid combination puncher in the mid-range.
Yeah.
Beautiful uppercut, but again, slow transition back from offense to defense. Jab hand comes down low, and now he's kind of parring with that jab. He's not consistently stepping in with it and throwing it in an authoritative fashion. It's almost like it's kind of like a get-off-me punch now, whereas before he used to step in with it. On occasion, he still does step in with it, but it's not like it was before. Now, has Joshua realized and said to himself that I have to pace myself because when I do empty out the clip, and again, in the third round, he did throw a lot of punches. So it's all, you know, it's understandable. Maybe he may have been a little bit tired going into that fourth round. But you would have thought that he would have tried to finish him in that fourth round because Pulev looked like he was hurt. He went down twice hard in that third round. And Joshua came out in that fourth round like a man trying to get a second win. These are heavyweights. They're big guys. When I saw Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder, he didn't take his foot off the gas pedal the whole fight. The whole fight, he had his foot on that gas pedal. He's a bigger guy than Joshua. I think he's a better conditioned athlete than Joshua. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I see a little bit of indecisiveness and a little bit of apprehension at points, and I see a little bit of tentativeness on occasion with Joshua. That doesn't take away the fact that he's still got pretty fast hands for heavyweight. Doesn't take away the fact that he's still a fluid combination puncher. Doesn't take away the fact that he can still hurt you with either hand. But I still think there's a little bit of a mental, there's a conflict, I want to say, that's inside right now. And when he's asked at the end of the fight, you want to fight Fury? He couldn't say unequivocally, yeah, I want to fight Fury. Basically saying like,
ask the crowd who I want next.
You know, it's like, dude, come on, bro.
He never really mentioned him, you know? I mean, it wasn't, I hate that. Listen, if you want to fight the guy, you want the biggest fight, you know what the biggest fight in heavyweight division is. Hey, I want this guy. You know who I want,
yeah.
You know?
You know, and then he had that little speech before he came out to the ring. He just, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like he's trying to be some.
Is that the one they played on the screen or whatever, the big screen?
Yeah, that was kind of corny a little bit too.
Yeah,
and,
no, that's not either.
You know, it's just I don't dislike the guy. There's just something about him that just doesn't jive with me. He just doesn't seem like he's really committed, and I just like my heavyweight champions to be like confident. They asked him, are you the best heavyweight in the world? Well, I'm the best version of myself. It's like...
What does that even mean? I want
to
see
it's like,
somebody ready to rip your face off 24-7.
I want my heavyweight champion to be like Tyson Fury, Mike Tyson.
Right.
Yeah, I am the best. Yeah, I do want to fight him.
Right.
You know, and again, this doesn't take away from the skill set. It doesn't take away from the skill set. But again, we talk about this all the time. When you're up at that upper echelon elite level, it's the little things that matter. And he may be missing a little bit of those little things that Tyson Fury does have. And that's going to make the difference in a fight of that magnitude. I mean, would you agree on that possibly or no?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, after the fight, Tyson Fury tweeted out, and so did Bob Arum, tweeted out something later on that evening, saying that first thing Monday morning, we will be negotiating this fight to happen. So bottom line is, this leaves Deontay Wilder out, and I don't know. I'll be real, real honest with you. I don't know that you know, he's too concerned about that. Deontay Wilder, that is. I think if I were Deontay Wilder, go to Bridgeweight, go fight Andy Ruiz or somebody else, you know, and try to get that. And that's a bad fight for me, too. But this is the fight to make. Your contract's expired. You're going to lose this battle. This is the next fight coming up, and that's that. I mean, it really is. That's that.
But I'm going to be honest with you. I can't really say he did anything too wrong, but a lot of fighters said they saw flaws. I mean, the transition is one flaw.
But he's always had that, though. That transition coming back, and he drops that left, and he's open for a right. We've always talked about that, because we were talking about that when we were talking about the Ruiz fight. We were talking about that with the Wilder fight, that he has a propensity to get hit with right hands.
He keeps that head straight up in the air. That's
an old European. You remember the old, like, European fighters? Like, back in the day, they used to all fight the same way, stock straight up and chin up in the air, hands tight. I mean, they had really good technique, but that was the one thing that they didn't really hit. Their chin was always up, and I didn't notice that yesterday with him.
And if you watch Lennox Lewis, he started out like that, but he evolved. He became better. His hand positioning changed, kind of tucked his chin, he moved a lot and kind of swayed back and forth with his head. Joshua, I'm just being honest, he reminds me a lot of Klitschko.
Yeah.
And again, Klitschko had a lot of great qualities too, but the flaws were glaring. You know what I mean? Klitschko was somewhat robotic. I think Joshua's kind of has a little bit of roboticness to him. He's not as smooth and slick as Fury is. He's just not that, doesn't have that natural reflexes and stuff like Fury does.
No.
So
I would have a hard time. Yeah, I would have a hard time picking AJ over Fury. I really would.
I would. I just don't see anything he could do. And then people are like, oh, what if he knocks him out? You got to fucking nail that guy to the fucking canvas to stop him. He's going to get up.
Listen,
he's getting up.
Deontay Wilder hit him with everything he had in both fights. Well, in the first fight anyway, and he didn't go anywhere. He's still there. So, you know, it's tough to imagine. It's tough to imagine. You know,
that right hand from Wilder is considered the hardest punch in boxing. It was for the longest time. Fury ate that like M&M's.
Yeah.
He ate it like M&M's. And even in the second fight, Wilder landed it a couple times. And what happened? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. When you got a Fury on his A game, running on all cylinders, perfect. Okay. You got a dangerous guy.
It's a tough guy to beat, man. It really was a tough guy to beat. You know, is it at this point, you know, like you see the same type of flaws in AJ, but you see him, you know, he's actually kind of evolving. You know, he's making a lot of progress. in the sense that he's evolving and stuff, and you're seeing different wrinkles in his game. But, you know, as far as he goes, like, what do you – I mean, do you see him making enough adjustments to beat Fury?
I don't see him beating Fury.
How dare you.
And I will give him credit for one thing. I think he's realizes his flaws, and he's trying to do everything he can to mask them and minimize them.
Sure.
But again, are these the right tactics? So what I'm saying is, do you want a guy who's gonna try and slow the pace of the fight down? Do you want to see a guy do what he did in the fourth round and not try to finish the guy? Because you remember, Klitschko did the same thing against him. Everyone's right. Sitting there saying, well, you know, Joshua got up. And credit to Joshua. Joshua got up. But Klitschko never went in for the kill. And why is that? Because he was afraid he was going to get gassed out. So if you're a fighter and in the back of your mind, you're always worried about gassing out, you're never going to let it all hang out. You're never going to be able to just fight off an instinct. You're always going to be battling with yourself. It's almost like, should I stay or should I go when it comes to throwing punches? You know what I mean? There is a little bit of indecisiveness with Anthony Joshua right now. Fury was dropped by Cunningham, but Joshua was dropped four times by friggin' Henry Ruiz, and he was stopped and knocked out. Let's not play this game of Fury. If you're an objective person right now, it's almost impossible for you to think that AJ could beat Fury.
How dare you?
It's impossible.
Listen, I don't want to talk about AJ anymore. I don't even want to talk about Fury anymore because I got the champ right now, Vito Milnecki Jr. Brother, how are you, man? Welcome back. I think you're muted.
I think you're muted, kid.
There you go. I think you're okay now.
I can't hear him.
Uh-oh. We got some technical difficulties.
All right, tell him to jump off and jump back on, see if he can get his sound right.
Yeah, do me a favor. Jump off and then jump back on, and we'll see if we can get your sound right, okay? All right. Some technical difficulties. Vito will be back. He will be back.
I mean, could you see Joshua beating Fury based on what you've seen in these last couple fights?
I don't care what version of Joshua we see. I don't see him beating Fury.
Now, this version of Joshua is good.
Let me bring him back on here. Vito, can you hear me?
Me?
Yes, now I can hear you.
I can't hear him anymore.
Yeah, it's like a delay or something like that. What's going on?
Is there something wrong with your mic or something?
I don't know.
So they should be.
Okay, I can hear you. Like you come in and you go out. Like when you touch your headphones, like you came in and then you just went right back out.
Coming in and out. I can't hear him.
Yeah, I still can't hear you. Oh, wait a minute. All right, Vito, can you hear me?
I can hear you guys now, but now yours is going in and out.
What in the world? That's odd, man. That's odd. I'll tell you what. I'm going to have you call in. Can you call in? You can still leave your camera on, but I'm going to have you call in. I'm going to text somebody real quick. B, why don't you break down that second fight, that Lawrence Okolie fight, while I straighten this out.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that was basically a one-sided beatdown from Okolie.
I don't understand all that. You think he beats Tank Davis?
To outbox him.
Really?
He's a slick fighter. You know what would be a good fight for him? Who's the guy there? The guy that had the title, the 130-pound title there for the longest. This is the guy's name. Oh shit, I can't. I'm drawing a blank here. The guy that's been champion for a long time, at 130. Trying to remember. But There's a lot of guys at 130. I don't know if Shakur Stevenson, that would be an interesting matchup. I think he's good enough where he can hold his own with any of the top guys. You know what I mean? I don't think anyone would like blow him out of there.
Let's talk about the Shakur Stevenson fight. On ESPN, Shakur Stevenson versus Tokakon Clary. Shakur Stevenson beat Tokakon Clary in a unanimous decision by the scores of 100-90 on all cards. This was exactly what we expected. I mean, there really were no surprises here. We said it was going to be one-sided. It was. I didn't really expect Shakur to knock him out. He didn't. You know, it was okay, but it was one-sided. And look, man, we need to step him up. We need to step him up. And I think Vito Malenko said it perfectly. He says he looked great against a guy he should have looked great against.
Yeah.
This was 100% that setup fight, that squash match that you see on old WWE wrestling, you know. That's the thing, man. This was it. Stevenson said he wants the winner of Jamel Herring versus Carl Frampton. I think he beats either one of those two guys easy. I really do. I mean, anything to add on this? I mean, he looked good.
Michael Burchelt was the guy I was talking about.
Miguel Burchelt, yeah. Miguel Burchelt, yeah.
Miguel Burchelt. I don't know why I drew a blank here. You know, I love Stevenson. I think he's evolved. I think he's gotten better. I think he's another guy that's sitting down on his shots. He's another guy that's fighting inside a lot better. Before, he was primarily an outside fighter. Now he's added a wrinkle to his game where he can sit in the pocket. He can fight on the inside. It's going to the body. He's shortening up the punches. He's positioning his body properly. He's moving his head on the inside.
Yeah.
He's really improved. But the frustrating thing is that Stevenson needs that step up fight. He needs that fight to that standout fight. He needs a quality upper echelon opponent. You know, I don't even know if Kyle Frampton will be that guy. I don't even know if Jamel Herring will be that guy. I'd like to see him beat a guy like Burchell.
I would too. Well, that's what he said. He said he wants to beat one of those guys, get the belt, and then go directly to Burchell.
Yeah.
That's what he says he wants.
How do you think he would match up against Tank Davis?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know. That's a problem, man. That's a big problem.
How long can Tank stay at 130? That's another question we have to
probably
ask.
Probably a couple weeks.
Right?
I mean, really.
Tank,
I'm not going to stay there.
Tank eats breakfast and he's a middleweight. He's a junior welterweight after he eats breakfast.
Like so. Adrian Broner, man. It's like he can't, you know, it's going to be tough for him at some point. I think Tank would do better up one division anyway. But
yeah.
I will say this. I think that, you know, like I said, a lot of people love Jamel Herring, and a lot of people, you know, are really high on this guy. I've never been that high on Jamel Herring. I've always thought he was real like a obviously he's a world-class fighter, don't get me wrong. But as far as, like, upper echelon goes, I don't think he would do well against Shakur at all. The same thing with Frampton. Frampton's had his day, and his day was a while ago. That's not even really that. I mean, it's a step up fight. I would like, you know, it's a step he needs to take. Yeah. But yeah, man, I like the Miguel Burchelt fight. I really do. And I think that's a fight that could possibly get made. So, you know, let's talk about, before we go to the phones here, the fight of the week, man. I tell you what, Felix Verdejo versus Masayoshi Nakatani. Now, if we don't know Nakatani is the guy that fought Teofimo Lopez before Lopez fought Lomachenko. Yeah,
Lomachenko.
All right, so Nakatani we know can fight. We know can fight, man. I'll tell you what, though. Felix Verdejo was winning this fight hands down.
Was.
Hands down. And the big talk about this was in New York next year, the Puerto Rican Day, you know, the Puerto Rican Day weekend and everything like that, in Madison Square Garden, you got Verdejo, you got Teofimo. And for the first six rounds, I can't wait for that fight. You know, I'm like, this is going to be good. You know, I like it. I like because Felix Verdejo was the guy who was, you know, they were pumping him up, and he was going to be the next Puerto Rican star, the next Trinidad, you know, and just didn't pan out that way. But now he gets a shot. Let me tell you what, man, that was a fight. He was beating him constantly, knocked him down a couple of times, that straight right hand, and then all of a sudden in the seventh round, he got rocked by that 1-2. He just never got out of the way, man. He pulled straight back. He was never pulling back on an angle. He would always pull straight back, always with his hand down, always with that left down, so he was getting smacked with that right. I don't get it, man. I mean, why? I don't know. And you know what? I don't know if his corner had anything to say about it. I don't know if his corner was telling him, hey, you know, this, this, and this. But, man, what about Nakatani?
Nakatani was hurt several times in this fight, and he looked like he was on the verge of getting stopped himself.
Yeah.
And here's something else that I heard, and I don't know how true this is. I believe Nakatani injured his orbital bone, I think. And remember that eye that was closed?
He looked like it, yeah.
I want to say it was the left eye, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, maybe. I thought it was the right eye.
Oh, the right eye. You're correct. It was the right eye. That eye was closed, and it looked – and then, and I guess they were talking about that could possibly have been broken. So this guy, you know, went to hell and back to get this victory.
Who's the guy, Beeb, that recently had a, you know, an orbital bone break that we claimed he had a orbital bone break?
It's verified.
Who was that? But he just quit the fight. He didn't fight on. He just kind of quit the fight. Who was that guy? Was that?
You gotta leave Daniel Dubois alone, man. You gotta leave him alone.
I'm just saying.
Guy's a warrior.
Nakatani finished the fight. I'm just saying he won.
Nakatani came back. He came back from the depths of hell to win that fight.
He sure did. He really did, man. Because
right?
He was getting schooled in that fight. I mean, that fight wasn't even close.
Came back from the depths of hell.
He hit him. That, you know, that one that sprawled Verdejo out on those ropes, that looked like I don't want to call it a jab, but it looked like a straight left to me. It wasn't a jab like your quintessential jab. He just came in and he just punched. I mean, it was just like a left, you know.
Plus Dubois got counted out.
Stop it.
The ref counted to 10.
Stop it. I told you we don't mention his name on his podcast anymore. We don't mention his name on our show.
You got counted out, bro.
We don't mention his name on the show anymore, son. He's dead to us. Don't worry.
Oh, my God.
Tony Yayo, yes, he did. Anywho.
Count it out.
No. No.
It's a shame.
I tell you what, man. The way Verdejo was knocked out, that was like, wow. I mean, he really came back. But, you know, like, where does Nakatani go from here? I mean, does he get a big payday? I guess he's going to get a big payday. Hopefully he gets a big payday after this. But they're not going to put him against Teofimo again.
No, I got it. Teofimo rematch. He lost every round.
Every round. Wasn't close. The fight was not close. He did well. He did very well in the fight.
Well, no disrespect to him, but what determines doing well in a fight? I mean, if you lose every round, you're not – I mean – he didn't get knocked. Well, let's just put it this way. He did well because he didn't get knocked out.
Wow.
He's supposed to get. No, it's so disrespectful.
So disrespectful. I never disrespect other fighters. You just went off the handle right there and just disrespected this
guy.
You
just took a dump on fucking Daniel Dubois.
He had it coming.
Stop it. He didn't have it coming. He got counted out.
He had it coming.
He didn't quit. He got counted out.
I took a pie for him.
How many pies have I taken in my career?
You've taken a lot because you lose to me a lot. All right, that's what happens.
I lose to you. I lose to Georgie.
All right, let's talk about Edgar Berlanga versus Ulysses Sierra. Berlanga continued his knockout streak, knocking out Ulysses Sierra in the first round. Let me say, Berlanga is now 16-0 with 16 first round knockouts. at super middleweight, I think it's time to step up his competition. Beebe, let me ask you a question. There's two things that really bother me here. Number one is that they keep counting the streak. And I get it. It's good for media. It's good for TV and everything. But it's not good for him. That's number one.
That's what I'm saying.
Number two, though, that guy he was fighting last night, you know it and I know it. He shot up. That guy, listen, Belanga was wide open up the middle. That guy hit him with a couple of rights, and if that guy had any kind of power or anything like that, he would have made a fight out of it. Did you see – are you seeing this? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? I'm not saying Belanga's not a good fighter. I think Belanga's a great – I think he's a really good fighter, okay? He's clearly got a lot of power.
Well, he can punch, obviously.
Clearly.
We can't take that away from him, right?
No. But he tends to get real wild in there. And he tends to get real sloppy in there. Am I wrong in this? Am I talking out of turn here?
Listen, no disrespect to the guy. When I watch this guy fight, I feel like I'm watching a tough man contest fight. I just do. I mean, he just goes crazy in there. He's just going in. You know what this is like? Remember Goldberg in the WCW when he had that streak and he was undefeated for 90 something fights or whatever.
Like 200. He went like 200 now, dude.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. This is what this reminds me of. These are all, I hate to say it, these are set up fights, bro.
Wow. I am uncomfortable. I am uncomfortable with the amount of disrespect you've shown fighters on this episode alone.
Disrespect.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Disrespect. So Berlanga's got a freaking murderer's row of fighters on his resume, is what you're trying to say.
Ulysses Sierra?
Oh, God. You're killing me tonight. This is like a Saturday Night Live skit right now. Crazy.
Do you
you're
see,
out, of,
but
you're
like,
out of control.
When you... I'm out of control. What am I not, you know? When you watch Belanga fight, though, do you see the same things I see where he's, like, wide open? He's throwing looping shots. I mean, he's – yes.
It's a tough man contest.
I'm excited for him, and I want to watch him fight and everything. But I got a feeling that once he steps up, because he has not stepped up yet. I mean,
Butterbean was the king of the four rounders. That was an outlier. But this guy is the king of the one rounders.
King of the one. So if it goes 6 minutes, he's out of gas, you know, because every shot he throws is with mean intentions. He's trying to get you out of there every single shot. You cannot do that for 10, 12 rounds.
What's going to happen?
He's not going to be able to do it for eight.
When the fight goes into the second round, what's going to happen? Explain to me. Tell me what's going to happen. Because I don't know.
Nacho's on the line. I think it's Robert 530. I'm going to go to Robert first, but I'm dying to hear what Nacho has to say about him. I really am, because Nacho, I'm sure. Listen, everybody likes me. 16 first round. But if you got 16 first round knockouts,
I already know what Nacho's going to say.
Oh, how dare you put words in Nacho's mouth? He's a caller of the year.
That's right. What am I doing?
What are you doing? You can't do that.
I'm out of line.
Way out of line.
I got a nice line up, but I'm out of line when it comes to Nacho.
That's right. You know, disrespecting fighters, everything like that. Also, too, Clay Collard, everybody's favorite, lost a fairly close unanimous decision to Quincy Lavallis. After the fight, Collard said he would be going back to MMA next year.
Really?
Yeah.
So after that, like all he had to do was lose and he was out?
I think MMA, if I have to be honest, and I don't know the guy, a lot of people that – I think they like MMA better. I think they do. I mean, boxing's fine, but once you learn you can kick somebody in the head, it's pretty cool, you know?
I don't know.
Once you learn you can choke somebody unconscious, that's pretty cool, too. You know? So, yeah. It's fun.
More weaponry.
A lot more weaponry,
right?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, God, for sure. Yeah, the stuff that, I mean, you know, taking people's arms, taking people's legs, All the stuff that you wouldn't even think about is like, it's just insane what they can do to you.
All the stuff Robbie does.
Robbie, expert in all that stuff. I heard Robbie sparred this weekend. That's what I heard.
Yeah, get the PS5.
That's what I heard that too.
I can't spar because I'm on quarantine, guys, so, you know.
Oh, why are you on quarantine? What happened?
Why are you uncoordinated? Why do you say you're uncoordinated so you can't spar?
I'm on quarantine. I couldn't go out if I wanted to. My mom got tested for COVID, and until she gets her results back, neither one of us can go anywhere. So
I heard you were hitting the clubs anyway.
No.
Robert, do you know that I had COVID, Robert?
No.
Why don't you just tell everybody you got COVID, Beeb? Yeah, everybody that calls up. Vito calls up. Hey, Vito, did you know I had COVID? Robbie calls up. Hey, Robert, you know I had COVID? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
This is a story. And you're killing it. I made it back from the depths of hell.
Hey, guys, did you know Beeb had COVID? You guys know that?
No, seriously, guys, this stuff is no joke. I have two friends that are in the hospital on the ventilators.
98 oxygen level. 98.
What is wrong with you?
I'm back. Fucking back, baby. I was in my bed last week crying, thinking, when am I going to get out of this? Am I going to survive? Am I going to be one of the long haulers? But I'm not a long hauler.
Wait a second. You know what just hit me? The fact that you got an oxygenator, like, right next to you. Like, it doesn't leave your side. Like, Linus with his blanket.
That's what
I'm doing. Oxygenator right there.
You never know when you need to call 911 if this thing dips.
What's the matter with you? This thing dips.
This thing can automatically go into the 80s. I had COVID. You never know what can happen here.
Jesus. Robert, save me from this madness.
All I can tell you about COVID, guys, is no joke. I have two friends that are in the hospital on ventilators. So take it seriously.
That's crazy.
And wear your mask, man. Okay.
My brother was in the hospital. My brother was in the hospital for a week, and he came back. So he's back. Shout out to my brother. He made it.
Absolutely, man.
Moving on to boxing. I agree with you, Eric, on several counts. Number one, until Berlanga steps up, he's just a sideshow right now. That's all he is.
Why do you call him a sideshow, Robbie? Don't call him a sideshow. That's a little bit too strong.
Said he was like a tough man contest.
Tough man contest.
No, to me it's like a sideshow because I think ESPN is fixing this so he can continue the streak. It's not good for his
development. Mm. That's a strong accusation, Robert.
Those are some crazy strong accusations. I don't know if you're allowed to say things like that.
Robert has inside sources.
I'm going to make more here. Shakur Stevenson needs to step up. I mean, he's getting too many marshmallows. Okay, he wins the title at 126, automatically gives it up to hop up to 130, and basically dominates the fight like we knew he would last night. Come on, if you think he's the real deal, let's see it.
Let me ask you, Robert. Let me jump in here real quick.
Okay.
So as far as Shakur Stevenson goes, you said he has to step up, and we all agree on that.
Yeah.
Do you think him fighting Jamel Herring or Carl Frampton is that step up?
No, because like you, I'm not impressed with Jamel Herring. I think he disposes of Herring easily. I don't think Herring is much of a competition. Herring is going to get by Frampton, but what is that going to prove? That'll be another easy fight for Stevenson. If you really want to test him, Miguel Prichelt is the guy. Let's get that sign sealed.
I think that's the fight.
Yeah, that's the fight to make. And listen, I think I'll tell you what, man. I think Stevenson is the goods right now in that division. I really do. I think he's the goods. So I think he might. I think he probably beats Burchell. But
well,
we got to wait for that fight to happen.
We,
you know?
we need to find out if Stevenson can handle Burchell's quickness and power, because Burchell is the most powerful puncher in that division right now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
You could argue that.
So, that's why I say, sure, they're gonna automatically give him the winner of Herring and Frampton, and he's going to win that fight. But if you're really not going to find out what kind of fighter Stevenson is until he's in there with Miguel Burchell. As far as Chris Colbert over on Showtime, he looked good last night, but he's 15-0. But let's see them step up his competition a little bit, because he made his TV debut, so to speak, and let's see what they can do with him. As far as Felix Verdejo, he had a golden opportunity of getting a fight with Lopez, and he basically he basically went to sleep and let it go away. So what can I say about that? And my thoughts and prayers are going to be out for Chris Van Heeren on Saturday, because he's going to lose to Boots Ennis, because every time Chris comes on TV, they put him in against somebody, he gets killed. Last time, Earl Spence totally destroyed him. So, I love the guy, because he gave me 2 hours.
The friend of the show, Robert.
Robert,
disrespect the fighters tonight, Beeb.
Yeah.
The guy sat there and talked to you for 2 hours. He canceled all his appointments for the whole day.
It was Van Heeren. Son is the friend of the show.
I know,
he gave
but
you 2 hours of your time, and then you're talking about him like he's yesterday's news.
You a cold fish, man.
Unfortunately, Boots Ennis is going to be another killer at 147, man. What can I say?
I don't know about that.
Well, I'm taking Van Heeren, son, because I'm loyal.
Great.
Hey, yeah, I'll be happy if he wins, but I don't see it. I don't see it. And as far as the heavyweights are concerned, I agree with Beeb 100%. Fury will win not one, but both of the fights against Joshua.
Yeah, I think so too. Fury's too good, man.
And now let's put it out there. Tyson Fury is the best heavyweight out there. He doesn't duck any challenges. If Joshua's saying he's making comments and saying he's not the best, then maybe he doesn't belong to be a champion. Because when you're a champion, you're supposed to act like you're the best.
Wow, ripped him again, son.
I've been saying
ripped him again. All right, Robert, we're going to get going, man.
And
thank
I'm
so going to
stay and listen. I'll stay and listen, because I won't be able to hear you otherwise.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, be safe, man. I hope your test comes back fine, man. I hope you
don't have any
man. It's all good.
Do you have any symptoms, Robert? You have any symptoms?
No. It's my mom that has
the
test.
He had a burning sensation when he urinates.
Oh, God, come on.
Mom had symptoms, but not you?
No, that's correct.
Yeah, he's going to be all right, B. They're going to give him some penicillin. He's going to clear right up, man.
I wish your mom the best, man. I hope everything's
okay. Yeah, I hope your mom's okay, man. Really.
I would not wish this on my worst enemy.
No, it's not good, man. It's really not.
It's horrible.
Notorious VC, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. He says, why don't you guys think Fury Aram get more criticism for signing such a bad deal? Is it lame to call out Joshua when you owe Wilder another fight? Well, here's the deal with that, is that contract expired. That contract expired. He does not owe Wilder another fight. They will get right to work on it. And they said, and Bob Arum broke it down and said, if Pulev wins, because he's got Pulev as well, if Pulev wins, then they're gonna the Wilder fight will go on with Fury. Beeb, any thoughts on that?
Bob already knew that Pulev wasn't gonna win.
Everybody knew Pulev wasn't gonna win.
He was blowing a lot of smoke. He knew this. He was concerned more so with this Fury Joshua fight more than anything, and we all know that. There's no secrets here.
Yeah.
There's no secrets here.
All right. Nacho, I believe it was Nacho. 805, you're live.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's happening, Nacho? Hey. All right, talk to us,
much.
Nacho. Talk to us. What about Edgar Berlanga?
Yeah, I was going to say, because I heard you guys making a comment about that. I don't disagree with you guys as far as them not doing him any favors as far as, like, the level of competition. But at the same time, though, for a guy who's been knocking out dudes like he has, you have to find, like, someone that's in the middle, not a top 15, top 20 guy, but you got to find a guy that's maybe, like, a top 25, top 30 at this point, you know, someone that can actually take a shot and actually come back at him. Because at this point, like, beating guys like Solis and Lionel Bellows and all these other dudes that he's fought on TV lately, that's not going to do it. That's not going to help his development. I was thinking somebody along the lines, but I don't know if it would ever happen. I was thinking about guys like maybe Jay Leon Love or Caleb Truax, guys who have kind of been
Caleb Truax, that's a good fight. Yeah, I think that's a good fight. Those are better fights for him.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what
I think
was thinking. Somebody along that line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like you guys said, the whole selling the knockouts, yeah, it's great and it's going to get people to watch. But at the end of the day, he's not going to learn anything. And it's like you were saying, Eric, he last night after going after Solis to get the knockout, he was pretty wild and sloppy. And that's not good. Like, that's not that's a guy who is more concerned about keeping the knockout streak alive than he is learning how to fight. And that's not a good look for Berlanga. So I'm hoping that
they need
top
to
rank
end, they need to end that knockout streak and so they could stop talking about it. Because I don't think it does him any favors. It really doesn't. Not for his development.
Yeah,
it does in the box office, but not for his development.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's going to end up being like Tyrone Brunson, a guy who got a bunch of knockouts at the beginning of his career, but once he fought guys that he couldn't knock out, then he was done. He was done as a fighter.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that happen to Berlanga. So, you know, yeah, we'll see. And then with the rest of the card, man, I'm so disappointed in Verdejo. It almost seemed like he literally ran out of gas. He literally ran out of gas after six rounds. It was unbelievable.
I don't think man. I don't think so. I don't think he ran out of gas at all. I think he got clocked.
He got in with a good shot,
and he never recovered.
Fight.
I don't think he ever recovered after that. That seventh round, he got buzzed. In that eighth round, he got buzzed. In the ninth round,
yeah. Well,
got it with a sledgehammer.
Yeah. And he's got, like we broke it down earlier, man. He's got some flaws in his technique, man. He really does. Like I said,
yeah,
when he backed out, he drops that hand. He was getting hit all night.
Yeah, you would have thought that with Silas being his trainer, they would have corrected that by now. But, yeah, you can still see that he makes a lot of the same mistakes. But, yeah,
well,
that was so disappointing.
I mean, you know, you got to think that they worked on it, you know. I mean, because – but again, you get hit and you kind of go back to what you know or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
You revert to what you did before. Yeah. No, I get it.
Because his
trainer's
good.
But,
I mean, you know.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying he's terrible. He's better than the last guy he had. That's for sure. But yeah, that was so disappointing. I mean, I give Nakatani a hell of a lot of credit to come back because he was getting wiped. As far as I was concerned, he was losing that fight big time. So for him to come back in the last three rounds and salvage that defeat, that victory, that was unbelievable. You got to give him credit. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he goes because he's not going to get Teofimo, that's for sure. So it'll be interesting to see who they give him next. Yeah, for sure. I agree with you guys on Stevenson, Guild and everything, but they got to find somebody who's a legit threat. If he gives Burchell, that will be the ultimate test as to how good he really is at 30. He beats.
You think he beats
Frampton? It's going to be tough, Eric. I think if he wins, it's going to be a close win. It won't be easy because I think Burchell has enough experience and he has enough savvy that he's going to give Stevenson a run for his money because you know he's in his prime and he's feeling ultra confident right now, having won all those fights in a row. So yeah, he's walking in there like he's gonna walk in there and definitely try to get to keep his title. He's not going to roll over for Stevenson. If Stevenson's going to beat him, he's really going to have to be like on his A-plus game to beat Burchell, I think. The other card with Colbert, man, like that was an unbelievable performance. I didn't think he was going to go toe-to-toe with Arboleda, but, man, that was crazy how Colbert was able to, you know, slip his shots in there, make him miss, and then just counter him all night. And then the fact that his speed and his timing was just letting him land those unbelievable rights, it was like, wow. I mean, I'm totally shocked at how towards the end, because I didn't think he was going to knock him out, but, man, that was a hell of a performance. I wouldn't mind seeing him fight Gervonta, but something tells me that I think Floyd and Ellerby will keep him away from Gervonta. I don't think Colbert gets it. Yeah. Nope. I don't think they're going to let him fight Gervonta anytime soon, because I think this kid could give him a run for his money. That's for sure. And then the other fights, Hitchens, I'm sorry. I'm not a believer. I think that kid still needs a lot of development, and beating an old Argenis Mendez, Richardson Hitchens. Yeah. That fight was tough to watch. Beating an old Mendez and barely beating him, that wasn't a good look for him. I think he needs to go back to the drawing board. I think he was he fought well, but it was tough to watch. And then, man, what an indictment it is for Ellis to be losing to Khabarov. And the only reason he wins is because Khabarov tore his Achilles and had to pull out of the fight. Like that's
Lynn Mass, boys. Lynn Mass right there, representing Lynn Mass. Lynn, Massachusetts, baby.
Beep,
that's what
come
it's
on.
About. That's how we do it here. That's how we do it here in Massachusetts, man. We win it.
Beep,
we win any
on.
Way
you
we
know,
can at all costs.
That's how it is.
At all costs, we take the W no matter how it comes to us. That's how it is.
Speaking of titles and everything like that, did you guys hear that Columbus won the MLS title? Major League Soccer, baby.
Yeah.
Columbus, title town, son. Title town, son.
That's on the back. That's on the back page of the Ohio Herald. No
yeah, that's
no
all I read. It's on there, baby.
No one read about that.
I read about it. I read about it, son.
Hey, you had to dig for it. You had to dig for it.
I had somebody read it for me, but I mean, it's you know, it is what it is. All right, Nacho, we're gonna get running, man. Thank you so much for the
all
call.
All right, guys.
Let's
Lynn Mass, baby. Lynn Mass. Can't stop Lynn Mass. Trying to tell you people.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Georgina.
What's up, Georgina?
Wow.
Hey, yeah! What's happening, people? Yo, V.
What's up, Daddy?
Did we make it to the Super Bowl,
baby?
Did we make it to the Super Bowl?
Are they even in it? No.
Pats are done, bro. Six
they didn't make it?
They're horrible.
No.
No, man.
So.
You don't even know.
Well,
don't
you
want to
make it farther than Ohio did? Tell you that much, Eric.
I don't know. Cleveland's in it, son. Cleveland's in it, son. How about
is
that?
It?
How about that?
Fuck.
Patriots are not good.
Cleveland, son.
The Patriots
man,
are not good.
Man, I'm catching an L quick. I'm not even 5 minutes
you really
in. I'm catching
Ohio State's
going to
win the college football playoffs. Rolling, baby.
They are not good this year, the New England Patriots.
Listen,
I'm sorry to tell you.
Before I forget, how many fights, what the fuck is that nigga's name, Berlanga? What the fuck is his name, the Puerto Rican dude from New York?
Berlanga?
Yeah, what, his seven fight? That was his seven, six fight? How many fights that nigga has?
What's he got, 16 fights?
Yeah, 16-0 with 16 knockouts.
Yeah, 16.
Oh, 16 is? I thought it was only like six.
Yeah.
He got 16 knockouts?
No, no. Pay attention.
How many fights this nigga got, please?
16, bro.
16. With 16 knockouts. Yeah, that nigga, would you ask some competition? Anybody after 12, 13 fights? Because like first 10 fights, you really can't tell motherfucker anything, you know, because she's learning pretty much as a pro. But, man, you got 16 fights. You got to start seeing some light bodies out there.
You got to start seeing
what's
somebody.
Your pro record?
What's
your pro record?
I don't know.
Not sure.
I don't know.
He's like 21 and 1 or something like that.
Yeah, you see, like, that's the problem right there. Like, if you compare both of them, I mean, at least this dude got 16 KOs. At least you're going to see a bump getting knocked out. Somebody going to hit the fucking canvas.
Yeah.
That's the problem with Shakur, baby. Shakur ain't putting no getting no bodies out there. How many fights this man going to make with no bodies?
Well, I think that's the thing with Shakur is he doesn't have a particularly pleasing style to watch. You know, he's not very pleasing to watch, babe.
And Hannon,
Hannon is
going the same fucking way. If you look Hannon, you look at Shakur, this is a guy that you think, no, man, this is like going the distance sort of thing because we don't got the fights to judge them. And, you know, sometimes, myself, I put them down because I don't like that shit. I like my motherfucking champions. No, I'm from that Trinidad era. You know?
Shakur
I like
Stevenson
my champions young, 20 years old champ. That's why I respect you. Teofimo, nigga, I got
Shakur
that motherfucker
Stevenson.
In the highest fucking platform. What you said, B?
Shakur Stevenson is 15-0 with 8 KOs.
Do you think B, Georgie, do you think Georgie is in the running for Fighter of the Year?
Not this year.
Really?
But this is the.
I'm not this year.
Wow.
But this is the problem. This match is going to give you this lack of competition for years to come. And what you motherfuckers going to do about it?
Wow. I'm giving it to Nacho.
What are we
going to
do about it?
I'm not going to do a goddamn thing. How's that? I'm gonna sit on my friggin' hands. You know why? You wanna know why? I'm gonna sit on my friggin' hands. You know why? Because I just beat COVID, man.
Hey, Georgie, did you know B had COVID?
Hey.
I just beat COVID. Knock on wood.
Yo, B, what was the symptom? What do you feel, buddy? Talk to me. You couldn't smell?
I had
dry
mouth.
Yeah,
Shanker
on his privates. He had.
I had dry mouth. I had.
He had
a lot
itching
of,
and burning
I had a,
sensations.
All right, slow down. I had a lot of sinus congestion. I had some chest congestion and chest tightness. I had a little bit of a fever once in a while, but not really. I was a little tired. My appetite went to shit. I couldn't freaking eat. Like I was force feeding myself. I got COVID on November 24th, and I weighed about 199 pounds. I got down to like 187. I lost like 12 pounds. Yeah, I'm just
so
trying,
doing
I'm trying to get my weight
Kobe?
Back a little bit.
You be doing the
yeah,
show
no,
with
I'm,
Kobe?
He was doing the show with COVID. Yeah, he was doing
was,
the show. Yeah, he did the show
I was
last.
Doing,
yep.
Was doing the show with COVID.
Yeah, he was.
Wow, brother.
That's right.
My, so
trooper,
good out. Thank you for
the
that. Even though this show, what you being
that's
sick.
That's right. Why don't you give him some?
That's fucking wonderful,
that.
Brother. Wow. Amazing.
Right.
First
listen,
weekend,
let's talk about AJ. Let's talk about AJ. Let's talk about the man. Yo, the Verdejo. Verdejo. I want to talk about AJ, but let's quick. Let me get a quick stop on Verdejo. Verdejo is a gatekeeper, baby. Everybody knows that thing is mass suspect. As soon as you touch him, he's going to go down. You can have all the skills in the world, all the punching power. You want to be Superman, guess what? You got a fucking fucked up chin, it's not going to work. And he cannot take a shot. That's
fucked
the
up.
Bottom line.
Fucked up chin, huh?
He got
what
a fucked
shame.
Up chin, baby. He ain't making it. He's gatekeeper from
you
now on.
Right.
He
you
may surprise somebody. He may surprise somebody, but... Yo, that nigga wasn't even all that.
He's been way off his game.
The only reason I'm going to give the Japanese guy his props because he give Teofimo mad problems. Just because of his size, because I think he's mad tall for the full lightweight.
Mad problems.
He's kind of big for that weight division. So he's going to give problems to people just based on that, and he got a good chin. But from there, that win over Verdejo going to pull him on this pedestal? Nah, I don't think so. I don't think his competition,
please
don't
Robert,
get it twisted. This
stop.
Man will give you a run for the money, but I don't see him. I don't see him like his stock rose him with that Verdejo performance, even that he got up out of the campus. I guess they would love him in Japan and shit, but I don't know. I don't think this man really going to make it up there. As a matter of fact, that may hurt him. Because now people see that he could be a threat. So how much are they willing to put it out there with somebody? Sometimes these wins really affect people, even especially if you're not from the United States. If you're not from these motherfuckers, you're from Cuba, Japan, and you win and you are threat, baby, chances are they're going to put you down in the basement. Probably you're going to see this man in undercut for the next 4 or 5 years. They're not going to give him a chance. Anyway, moving up to AJ. Yo, AJ is back.
Why are we moving up? I don't
know. You think you stop? Yo, you think AJ was you stop?
What's this?
What are you saying?
If he was you stop, then he was you stop or what?
Oh, here we go with the juice stuff now. Come on. Will you please?
Is AJ juice?
Bro, we always see AJ taking a full round off. Every time AJ takes a full round here and there, the whole fucking round he takes it off. He did it like a small amount.
He won every round, son.
So now they have PEDs that make you take rounds off?
Well, he does that.
He does.
Just so, you know,
in all the
fights.
Yeah. In every fight, you see AJ slowing down, trying to catch up with his breath. But in this fight,
he won every round,
Georgie.
Won every round. He won every round.
What the fuck have to do with juice? I'm asking you.
If you're
saying he
took rounds off, if he took rounds off, he would have lost the round.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. He's from another planet.
I'm talking about even AJ winning rounds. Even when he's kicking ass, you could see him taking these breathers. You could see him looking for the breathers to try to regain his oxygen.
Stop it.
And in this fight, he does that all the time.
I want
to
tell you something.
In this fight, he did
listen
it
to me. You listen to me. You got exactly 2 weeks to pick it up. Because I put you on notice for caller of the year, you're embarrassing me. I got to be honest. You're embarrassing me.
I mean, you got to
pick
come,
it up.
You got to come with something more than these conspiracy theories.
This is my Dundee moment with you.
Shit,
you need to pick
up.
It up. You're blowing it.
Nobody in the story of fucking boxing has ever popped out fucking youth and fucking Jews. Nobody in the story of the sport ever pop up.
No.
It would be impossible. Listen, this is what you got me right here. Listen, give me 2 seconds. Listen, let me tell you something about these mafias who control this motherfucking earth. Let's take the UFC. They'll send Dana White, got the last airbender out there on purple blue.
Stylebender.
With
not
more
airbender.
Teeth than a fucking street joint.
The airbender. The last airbender. That's what he just said. He said the last airbender. What's the matter with you?
Don't he got that nigga there with more teeth than a strip club? Juice the fuck up. Teeth of his fucking knee. But somehow in boxing he cannot be the age is juicy? Fuck is wrong with you guys. That's the problem. That's the problem.
All right,
Georgie,
we're going
to
get one in here, man.
All right, peace out. I'm outie.
All right, Georgie.
Hasta la vista, baby.
You've used your time in a ridiculous way. All right. I have just got a text from Ringside Robert. I want to read this to you. All right. He says, quote, "I shouldn't make fun of COVID. Man, it's really serious." All right. Robert, your words have been heard and heeded. All right. Beeb. All right, so thank you, M-E-Z Box. He says, thank you so much. We appreciate it. He says, Shakur beats Frampton, Herring, and Brichelt. Stevenson lives in the gym and always gets elite sparring. Brichelt gets fat in between fights. That's something. And Shakur, listen, man, you may not like Shakur's style, but it's effective. And he doesn't get hit. He really doesn't. He doesn't get hit, man.
He's solid. He's solid defensively.
He really is. He really is, right?
We can't take that away from him.
No. He's very good. He's just a solid all-around fighter. What was Georgie talking about? What was that last call about?
No fucking idea.
Bro. I don't either. All right, let's talk about the fights coming up next week. December 18th, the big one. Let's see here. Is that the big one? Yeah, I'd say so. The big one on December 18th in Hollywood, Florida, on DAZN. Triple G, Gennady Golovkin versus Kamaru Usman. Beeb, you heard of this guy?
Never have.
We do this every week, Beeb. Beeb, you and I do this literally every week. We send articles back on each other. We do research on fighters. We've been doing this most of our lives. I have never heard of this guy.
Never.
Apparently, he's the number one contender. 12 rounds for Golovkin's IBF middleweight title. Yay. Ali Akhmedov versus Carlos Gongora. 12 rounds for the vacant IBO super middleweight world title. John Ryder versus Mike Guy. 10 rounds super middleweight. Somebody was mentioning John Ryder in the chat as a possible opponent for Berlanga, but he's booked up. Yeah, this card that Triple G's on in DAZN, I think it's a Friday, not very good. I got to be honest with you, not very good at all. December 18th, this blows my mind, Beeb. Gilberto Zerto Ramirez versus Alfonso Lopez. 12 rounds, light heavyweights, right? Beeb, you got this, right?
I do.
12 rounds. This is on pay-per-view. This is on Fight TV. This is a pay-per-view fight. Stop it. Stop. The big one, December 19th, DAZN in San Antonio, Texas, Canelo Alvarez versus Callum Smith, 12 rounds for Smith's WBA super middleweight title, and Alvarez's WBA regular super middleweight title. Go figure it out on your own. I don't know how to explain it. Listen, they're fighting. That's all you need to know. Francisco Rodriguez Jr. versus the dreaded TBA, Diego Pacheco versus Rodolfo Gomez. This fight, this undercard isn't great either. I mean, I got to be honest, this undercard isn't great either. But the main event is. The main event is very good. We'll come back to that in a second. Connecticut Showtime from Uncasville on December 19th, Emmanuel Rodriguez versus Raymart Gabayo, 12 rounds for the WBC interim bantamweight title. Boots Ennis, Jerron Ennis versus Chris Van Heerden, friend of the show. Robert, hear that loud and clear, friend of the show. 12 rounds welterweights. This is the one I'm looking forward to the most on that card. Antonio Russell versus Juan Carlos Payano. 10 rounds, bantamweights. Antonio Russell, who is he? Gary Russell's little brother. There it is. That's going to be good. That's a fight right there. That's a good fight. Okay. Triple G, we're assuming, gets past his guy. Canelo and Callum Smith. Who do you like in that fight, Beeb?
I like Canelo big.
Really?
Yeah, big.
Big?
Big.
Wow. I don't know, man. I like Callum Smith. He's a good boxer. He's solid. Yeah, I think Canelo works him, though. I think Canelo beats him. I think it's a good fight, though. It's solid. It's one of those fights that, like, I don't know who to pick. You know? I mean, I'm going to pick Canelo, but I wouldn't be surprised if Callum Smith won that fight.
Yeah, I don't see Callum Smith winning that fight.
Wow, how dare you? Just the disrespect you've shown to everybody tonight, Beeb, is just awful.
You know what it is? If you're going to beat a guy like Canelo, you have to have quick feet.
Yeah.
And you have to have a decent inside game. Callum Smith's not a great inside fighter. He's a guy who needs range. He's a guy that's not the quickest guy in the world. I thought John Ryder beat him last fight. He didn't look great in that fight. I thought Ryder beat him.
I thought Callum Smith washed him in that fight.
Yeah, see, I thought Ryder won.
A lot of people thought Ryder won. I thought it was completely one-sided. I didn't see that fight as close at all.
Wow.
But
I think wasn't it a split decision?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I can't remember. I know a lot of people. I think I had an 8-4 Ryder. I have to go back and watch it. I can't remember.
I think I had it like 9-3 for Smith.
Wow.
I didn't see her. I mean, I had trouble giving that other guy rounds.
Really?
Yeah. And Rap says, this is the first time I think I've heard Beeb say Canelo big. He said, I mean, he picked Khan.
John was winning the fight, too.
He was not winning that fight.
He was winning the fight.
No, he wasn't. He got served.
Actually, I think it was a unanimous decision. John Ryder, everyone had it 116 and one. Two judges had it 116 and 112, and one judge had it 117 and 111. So, yeah.
Man, Smith can box, man. This is a good fight. This is a solid. I don't know, man. I don't know about fight of the year or whatever, for fight of 2020. I keep going back to that. What's the Kovalev fight? The Kovalev Canelo fight where he was losing that fight. And as big as Canelo, because I think you're going to see that same size difference there or something similar, and how he was able to keep him out at range most of that fight. I think you might see the same thing. I don't know. I am picking Canelo, truth be told. But I'm thinking it's going to be – I think it's going to be tougher than we all think. So, but I'm looking forward to it. As far as the news this week, man, there was hardly any news this week. There was hardly anything, man.
No.
The one thing that did come out of the news this week was the pay-per-view numbers for Spence and Garcia, and it generated about 250,000 buys. Be it good, no good? I don't think it's that great.
A lot of people. People are saying that that's not even the accurate number, but who knows? I mean, I'll have to go with it because I don't know. You know, I'm just going by hearsay that it's not so. If you think about it, you know, $250,000 at $75 a pop, you know, it's
a little payday. But I mean, as far as like, you know, you figure if it was $300,000 or more, that's where you know you start getting into like, wow, this really did something, and. You know, I don't know. I don't think it was a very, like, people were really looking forward to it. I got to be honest. I mean.
Well, if you think about it, what did the Tyson-Jones fight do?
Was it almost $1.5 million?
Was it 1.2 or 1.3?
Something in there, yeah.
Let's just say it did 1.2. And what was the price? $50?
Yeah.
So this fight generated $18,750,000. So let's just do the math on the So let's just say the Jones fight did 1.2. So that's 1.2 million times that by 50. That's $60 million generated.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
$60 million fight. Yeah, so that actually, you know, everyone's talking about how the Fury Wilder fight was the biggest, the highest grossing fight this year. So what did that do? $800,000? And what was that pay that quarter? How much did that pay per view cost?
$80, I think it was $80.
Yeah. So that fight did 800,000 buys and it did $64 million. And it looks like the Tyson Jones fight generated about $60 million. So that the Tyson Jones fight was right there in revenue. You know, it was right there in revenue.
Yeah.
$60 million fight. Not to sneeze at.
No. And I wouldn't really consider Errol Spence a pay per view star at this point. I don't know. No more than I would consider Crawford a pay per view star.
I don't think the welterweight division has a pay per view star right now. I don't think the sport of boxing has a pay per view star anymore. Well, Canelo's on DAZN now. Well, he's not on DAZN now, but he's been on DAZN for a while. So
Canelo's the only guy right now, the money man.
Let's see if Canelo can come back and be that guy again like he was before.
How much do you think Floyd gets in this fight as far as – because it's going to be on pay-per-view with Logan Paul. Tough to say, right?
Maybe $500,000.
You think so?
If that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
The only reason why he's doing it is because he saw Jones and Tyson do it. So now he wants to get the limelight back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. It becomes just ridiculous after a while. But you know, it is what it is. I mean, I don't have to buy it. That's one fight. I'm not going to buy that one.
I heard Robert's buying it. That's what I heard. He told me, he called me up. He was like, Eric, I'm definitely buying that fight. And I was like, all right.
He's gonna pay for it with the stimulus package.
That's right. Stimulus package. All right, guys. Listen, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see everybody next week.